The Lord is working something in our lives. The Lord is always up to something great. And so we live a life of expectance with God and always just anticipating great things to happen and that our situations can change at any given time. But we're just talking about the courage, you know, to face things head on, those things that happen to us that we were never prepared for, the things that we never anticipated. Just also having the courage to know that if we face those things with Christ on our side, we are guaranteed to come out victorious. And that's the testimony, essentially, of my guest that is joining me, who's also a good friend of mine. Matepo, welcome to the catch-up. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much, Vince. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, so we are talking about, you know, the courage of facing situations head on with God on our side, because you know, you've gone through a journey. Your parenting journey wasn't necessarily easy, and there are things that have happened you know, along the way that were difficult and overwhelming. And so before we get into all of that, and I'll allow you to share the story, maybe give us a little bit of a background about yourself. Who is Matepo, and just when did your parenting journey actually start?
I'm a mom of two toddlers. My son will be turning 6 this year, and my daughter will be turning 5. I started being a parent like late in life, actually. I think I was 35 when I became a mother to my son. Yeah.
Okay. And then, carry on.
Yes. And because growing up, I was quite familiar with kids, you know, I will help babysitting, I will help my aunts with their kids and everything. So I assumed that motherhood was going to be like a walk in the park for me. I thought it was going to be easy for me because, I mean, I'm familiar with kids and toddlers. I know this. I've been doing this for years, but it was not so.
And then you had early challenges when your son was born. What were some of the early challenges you faced in terms of parenting when you started raising your own son?
I would say the challenge started when I was giving birth. Me and my son, we experienced some trauma during labor, and I didn't really understand about the trauma during labor, that it can have some consequences to the child and to the mother afterwards. But the doctor did mention it, but I think they didn't really explain it to me. So when we brought my son at home, he was very troublesome.
Yeah.
He cried a lot.
Yeah.
Like when I say he cried a lot, he literally cried the whole night. He wouldn't sleep, and he would start settling maybe in the morning around 5 o'clock, and he always wanted to be held, to be cuddled, as that comforted him. So apparently they told us that he had colic, so that's why he was so troublesome. But as a mom, I just had this instinct in me that there was something more going on, but I didn't know what.
Yeah.
But I could feel some unrest in my spirit, but I didn't really know what was it. But we were told that he had colic, and hence he struggled with sleeping, and he will sometimes struggle with feeding. He will overfeed. He was very overweight as an infant. I had to always hold him. The moment I put him down, he will cry hysterically. So it was like I'm always feeding, I'm always cuddling with him, and I hardly sleep, and he hardly slept as well. Because you will start settling like in the early morning around 5 or so, and maybe just sleep for 2 hours, then wake up to feed, then he's going to start feeling restless and the crying continues and continues.
And what impact did that have on you personally?
It was difficult. It was very, very difficult. Firstly, I had postpartum depression. Yeah. And now I hardly slept. I could even hardly take a bath, because it will mean I will leave him with my husband or with my helper for a few minutes, because he wanted to feed like throughout, literally, to comfort himself, you know, for whatever, like comfort himself in this colic situation and stuff. So I was a very depressed new mom.
Yeah.
And I was very angry. I think I was very, very angry with God, because I thought, what is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, I trusted you. I prayed. I did all the things I have to do to prepare myself to this journey of motherhood. You know, and having that anger as a mom, it builds so much resentment towards your child, resentment towards your husband, and even resentment towards God himself. Mm. You know, you don't want to discuss it, you don't want to tell people, but that's what is going on in your heart. Yeah. I was very angry, and I will fluctuate from being angry, feeling guilty for being angry, feeling guilty from not coping with my son, because I thought I was going to cope. Mm. I mean, I thought, you know, I was going to be able to meet my son's needs, but I was really struggling. I was struggling in my relationship with my husband. I felt like a failure. I failed as a mom. I failed as a wife. I thought so. But my husband as well, he was going through the same emotions, because it was a burden for him as well. To have a baby like this.
And then, Matsepo, you know, that obviously, you know, kept going. And so obviously it strained your relationship with your son, right? And you're talking about the resentment, the guilt, the anger, and the depression and all of that. And you obviously felt some type of way towards him. And that wasn't even the end of it. And then he grows up, and then you notice some other, you know, growth challenges with your son. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I was quite familiar with kids. Like, I grew up having infants, toddlers, 1 year at home, you know. So I noticed with my son, like, even when he was starting to grow as a baby, like 3 months, 4 months, my son was very quiet, Zinke. Abnormally so, you know. I mean, he was very, very quiet. He wouldn't babble as babies would do, you know. Yeah. You know, babies, when they start training their tongue, yes, they babble a lot. And yeah, they blow bubbles and they interact with you in a baby language. I never had that with my son. My son was extremely, extremely quiet. I'll be with him in the house, and if you walked in, you'll be shocked I was with a baby in the house, unless he was crying, of course, due to colic. So he'll be very quiet, and he'll sit in a corner, and he'll play quietly by himself. Mm. And to me, it was a first, you know. All the babies that grew near me, I mean, they were quite loud. They will dada a lot. Yeah, you know, they will interact with you in a baby language. I didn't have that. And instantly I knew something is up. Mm. I don't know what, but something is up. And as a mom, I thought, I started speculating, started talking to my husband about it. And one thing I've realized is that as a mom, you know your baby better than even your husband. Yeah. I don't know. As a mom, you know, you can't explain it. You can't tell a doctor, but there's a check in your spirit that says, thing is up.
Yeah.
Yes. So I knew instantly something was not right.
And then fast forward, you discover that he's got a speech delay.
Yes. Yes. Before discovering that he's got a speech delay, I mean, I was frantic. I was acting like a crazy woman. I was trying to come up with answers by my own strength, you know, which depleted me as well. I took him for him to get checked, his ears. I thought he was deaf for some reason, I don't know. And they checked him and they said, no, his ears are fine. He's fine, man. You just give him time to develop. Because that's another thing. When your baby is still small, it's hard for doctors to even diagnose him because they need to give him time to develop. But I knew instantly that something is up already, but I couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
And now as he's growing, I knew he had a speech delay. Mm. I didn't have a diagnosis for it, but I knew as a mom, because I could see he struggled expressing himself. So at home, I was the only one who could understand what he was trying to say, to communicate, yeah, to express. Even my husband would always have to come to me, and I would have to explain, I would help her, same thing, friends. My mom as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a struggle. So now he was supposed to go to grade R, because at nursery, every time I would mention my concern about his speech, they would say, ah, mommy, just give him time, you know?
Yeah.
I was dismissed. Boys, they take time to develop compared to girls, especially when it comes to language. Just give him time. And I think it's true. Sometimes you ought to give your kids time so that you can know for sure what is going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, waiting with uncertainty is so comfortable. Mm. So when I was supposed to take him for grade out, I knew that. I knew that he had some issues, but I didn't know exactly what.
Yes.
So now, because at least he's five, and they said they could assess him, that's when I thought, okay, we'll take him for an assessment.
Yeah.
But while I was waiting, because you know when you're waiting as a child of God, you need to be acting. I did register him in a mainstream
school,
primary school. Yeah, for grade R, because I didn't know how to tackle the situation.
Mm.
And that's the thing about registering kids. You register your kids, you send your documents, but the teachers haven't met your kid.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, they assume it's just another kid. You know.
Yeah.
So I remember his first day at school. The next day, he was supposed to go for an assessment. So I took him to the mainstream school. Me and my husband, we took him there. You know, and he not only did he struggle with his speech, but he had, like, serious social anxiety.
Mm.
You know, really. Whenever it was crowded and it was too noisy, he didn't cope. So I was really anxious, very anxious taking him to school. And I was just trying to calm down. And I was just trying to say, you know what, Lord, I am just doing this because I want you to lead me and show me. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So as we're taking him there, I mean, you can imagine mainstream. It's packed.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it. They are running. They are screaming. Some are crying. Oh, my goodness. My anxiety was starting to rise up.
Yeah, you know, and just because of time, I want us to fast forward now to,
yes.
So he didn't cope, obviously, and then you had to take, yes, him for an assessment with professionals to really find out what it is. At some point, you thought it was, what's this condition?
Autism.
You thought he had autism, yes. And then, okay, fine, you know, the process went through, and all the while, your relationship with your son is now, you stressed now about other things, about his conditions, he's not coping, and you now needed to take him to a remedial school, right? But I want us to get, yeah, to the point where, Matsepo, you realized where the turnaround actually happened in the life of your son, as well as what God taught you through the process that you went through that actually mended, one, your relationship with your son, and really started his healing journey as well.
Yes, I started seeing a turnaround in his behavior and in my relationship with him, because I mean it was quite hectic.
Yeah.
I would get anxious having to deal with him, like in the morning, having to wake up and to deal with him. I remember when we took him for assessment, they told us he doesn't have autism, but he has speech delay, and he struggled with concentration, and he has a low IQ.
Mm.
And they gave us a list of schools and nurseries and preschools that we can take them to. Firstly, when I got home, it was very heavy in my heart. But I remember God said to me, trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me in this journey and let go. Let go. You see, sometimes as parents, there's a stigma with taking our kids to special schools or remedial schools and everything. So God dealt with that issue in my heart. I remember he gave me Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, and he says to me, trust me with all your heart, and in all your ways, lean on my own understanding,
yeah,
and I will direct your path. Because as a mom, when you are praying for your son's healing, you expect God to heal him in ways that you want, in a timing that you want.
Mm.
But that's not what happened. I had to take him to a remedial school. And you know, sometimes as Christian, a person can say, you don't have faith, God can heal him instantly. No, no, no. God said to me, I need to let go and allow the process of healing to happen.
Yeah.
We took him to school. I told my family, I told my friends, I'm taking him to remedial school. You know, and I think I was ready for judgment. I was ready for stigma. I was ready for everything. But you see, sometimes we think people are not going to support us, but the moment we trust God, we see that people are with us, they love us,
yeah,
they pray with us,
yeah,
and they support us. And Zinta, I tell you, the moment I let go, God gave me so much wisdom in dealing with him. I mean, it was amazing. God started teaching me how to teach him to speak. Mm. And I remember, I thought, oh, okay, that is just too much. I don't have the energy. I don't have the zeal. I mean, how am I going to teach him to speak? It's a lot of work. I think professionals will do a better job at school.
Mm.
But God insisted on me, and he said to me, he wanted me to teach him to speak through prayer and by confessing the word of God. Yeah. And I thought, God, I mean, have you seen how he reasons?
Share the specific scripture, Matsepo, that you taught your son to confess that really started changing his personality as well.
Yeah, God gave me Psalm 23, the last verse. God gave me specific. He said to me, I should tell him when we pray with the little sister that they should follow me in prayer every night.
Mm.
So we'll say, surely goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
And he insisted that I should say, I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I have the mind of Christ. Jesus provides all my needs, and Jesus loves me. Amen. So we pray that prayer. We pray that prayer every day, first week at school. Pray that prayer every day, second week at school. My mom calls me on Saturday. We're just sitting in bed. We relax. And she's like, oh, can I video call you guys? I'm like, yeah, sure. Video call us. Then my mom video calls us. So when my mom is video calling, she's like, okay, can I speak to Huapeli? That's my son's name.
Yeah.
So my mom speaking to Huapeli, my mom, she just started screaming because I was washing dishes. I left them in the bedroom. So I come and check, what is going on? She said, for the first time, I can hear Huapeli, what she's trying to say.
Aww.
She said, she is so clear in her speech because I would always have to interpret, always, always. And this has been 2 weeks in his school and 2 weeks of us confessing the word of God.
Yeah.
But Zinke, you know, as we go little by little, I saw God's restoration, not only in my son's behavior, but even in my heart.
Mm.
God had to deal with so many issues. Why am I impatient? Why do I want to control everything? Why do I want things to go my way?
Why am I
always so stressed and all those things?
Absolutely powerful. Time is just against me, Matsepo, but maybe you will have a part two of your testimony another time. But that is just absolutely amazing to see and to know that when we trust God and we let go, he will handle things. He heals, he restores. And at times, the process also requires for us to be restored and to be healed. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Vincent.